Hi guys, we're here for episode 1. Welcome back. And if you haven't had the chance to listen to the trailer episode, please make sure you go over and have a listen so you know what you're getting into. On this episode of Nor and Soul, the podcast, I sit down with my friend Taylor Plaza to talk about life after the loss of a parent, shifting the family dynamic, and the many stages of grief. We laugh, we cry, all the things. Here's Taylor and my story.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Markia.
I am so excited to have you here as my first guest. You honestly don't know how excited I am. You know, we talked about this off the air, so.
Yeah.
So let's actually kind of jump right in. Tell the people who you are and who you want this story to reach.
Okay, so I am a survivor, right?
Ooh.
I am a survivor and I'm a living testimony of how I've survived these traumas. The people that I hope to reach, honestly, are those who still have their parents and those who are preparing their life for when they don't have them anymore.
Wow. Wow. That's deep.
Right.
That's deep already. Okay.
Yeah.
So part of the reason, and you know this, that why I wanted you to be my first guest is because we kind of share a similar story and loss and the loss of a parent with, I'm not going to give too much on your story and let you tell that, but I lost my dad recently, just at the end of 2019. And right before that, I lost my grandmother, who is his mom and also somebody who has lived with me my whole life. So it's been a lot.
Yeah.
And I wanted to just kind of talk through that, talk about how we experienced loss and where are we at this point since all those things happened. So tell me a little bit about where your story begins.
So my story began in 2010 of June. And at the time, you know, normally when my mom was sick, she had developed breast cancer, a rare form. And it started with a misdiagnosis where the doctors thought that it was just like an infection because my mom had gave birth at a later stage of her life. And when I found out, right, normally your parents are the ones that sit you down. They have this conversation. That was not my story. Wow. Literally, someone else at the time had told me that was close to my family. And so that's how I found out.
So what did that, did you feel some type of way about that?
Absolutely. I did feel a way about that because I didn't, you know, normally when your parents talk to you about things, like they gradually tell you, and at the time I was like 17, so it was just like what, and my father had just finished being sick, so it was just like a little bit, you know, too much at that time. So right. I definitely felt a way about that.
Okay. And so you started out by just kind of finding out that your mom was sick in a way that you would have gone about it a little bit differently.
So
just kind of jumping a little bit forward, how did the process of loss actually like kind of take place? Like where were you at that point when you know your mom was actually transcending?
Okay so my mom was in and out the hospital the last 6 months, and I in March on my birthday, my mother wasn't feeling well. She was definitely sick and she was in the bed, and we had just finished celebrating my birthday, and like a week later, she was in the hospital. And it was literally, I had came home from school and she had went back in. And at that time, I didn't think like, oh, okay, like my mom, you know, she's been in and out the hospital anyway. So I'm like, okay, she'll be home in a few days. Not unbeknownst to me that, you know, she wasn't coming home. So my mother has spent a little bit over a month in the hospital. And on the weekends, I would go to the hospital with my aunts, and I would just spend like several like hours there until visiting hour was closed. And what happened was when my mom actually went on, I was at church, and at the time I was praying in service, and because my aunt was like, yeah, get up and, you know, pray, and, you know, you do the scripture and stuff. So I was like, okay, cool, like, all right. And what ended up happening was I come home from church and I just see like my aunt going into the house, which still not thinking anything. Mm-hmm. And I just see these people like turning around trying to dry their tears. I'm like, I see your tears already. Right. So nobody told me that my mom passed. Ooh. I knew. And everybody around me. And till this day, nobody has told me my mom has, you know, I figured it out by myself.
Okay. So it wasn't really a conversation.
No.
Like, this is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, see, for me, it was a lot different with my dad. My dad also was sick for mm-hmm. some time. And I don't think initially I really knew how sick my dad was until I had been away at college. Actually, it was like probably my senior year in college, and okay. so there would like be long periods of time that I wasn't home, and then I'll come home, and I just started realizing like over time that my dad was like losing weight significantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of questioned it in my head, but really didn't say anything about it out loud. And needless to say, it kind of just started off with me noticing that, to me like realizing that he was diabetic. And that was kind of the beginning of a whole bunch of other health complications that, honestly, to this day, I'm not 100% clear on.
Mm.
I really don't know everything that was going on with him.
Right.
So trying to find peace with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
When he actually got to the point where he was transcending, he had actually been in and out of the hospital since he passed in September. He was in and out of the hospital since, like, June. And nothing too crazy. Like, he would go and come home, and he
right.
wasn't like, it was like a couple times that he may have actually got admitted, but it'd be like for a couple days. Like, he wasn't in there for any long periods of time. And the day that it actually took place, or the day that he went into the hospital for the final time, I was at work, and my parents live in New York. I obviously don't live in New York anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the end of my work day. I got through the whole day of work. I was getting ready to leave soon. And my sister called, but I didn't answer right away because I was actually like talking to one of my clients. And so I just kind of wrote it off like, I'll call her back in a few minutes. But then she called again. And right when I went to go answer, it hung up. So I'm like, okay, I'll call her back in a few minutes. Then my aunt started calling me. And then that's when I got skeptical.
Mm, yeah.
Because my aunt doesn't really, like, just call me,
mm-hmm.
per se. So I'm like, okay. So I answered, and it was my aunt and my cousin on the phone. And they were like, step outside for a second, or whatever the case may be. I stepped outside, and I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, your dad just went into the hospital. Like, he's not doing good. Call your sister. We're about to go up. And everybody was like, it was like a real, like, frantic kind of conversation, but at the same time, like, I could tell they were trying to not be,
like, keep you calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So being that my dad had been in and out of the hospital already, I was confused a little bit, because I'm like, okay, I'm always made aware when he goes to the hospital, but I'm not like prompted like this, like, we're gonna go up there or whatever case may be. I'll just call my parents from home or whatever and check in on how he's doing, or if I go up there, I go up there. And so we all get together and we drive up. So now it's myself, my sister, my aunt, like three or four of my cousins. Like, we're like really going deep up there. But I still wasn't asking too many questions at that time. I'm like, okay, I hadn't spoke to my mom. My sister had spoke to my mom, who was there with my dad. And so my sister had a better understanding of the state that he was in. I didn't ask too many questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just, like I said, my grandmother passed right before my dad did. And so we had just buried my grandmother, mm-hmm. like, a couple weeks before this. So as we're driving up to New York, we're passing, like, the town that my grandmother was buried in. And my thought process was, oh, when we're heading back home, I haven't been to the burial since it, you know, happened. So I want to stop there. And that's what I thought in that moment. We get to the hospital, and my dad's in the emergency room, and he looked like not like him.
Mm-hmm.
He did not look like himself at all. And it was like, it was just a lot going on in the emergency room too. So it was just like that on top of like seeing my dad, like, he was just not, I don't want to go into full detail, but he just wasn't looking like himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I already was just like distraught from the time that I got there. And when I got there, like, my whole family was at this hospital already. So I'm just like, okay. So I found out that he basically, him and my mom actually had just came from a doctor's appointment that day. And he passed out when he got to the house. My mom, they had to resuscitate him. He like kind of was out at some point. They resuscitated him and they got him to the hospital. And he just didn't look good. And then we were in the hospital for like a good 4 days of just up and downs and doctors saying this and all just all types of things happening within those 4 days before he actually passed. And I had just was I was just with my dad like 2 days before that. I had just been in New York 2 days before that for a pop-up shop actually, and we were talking about all the things that I had done and what I was going to do going forward and how he can help me and all these different things. And I was literally 2 days before he was in a hospital. And yeah,
so question, like, did you really, like, realize what was happening once you got to the hospital with all these people there? Or was, like, because he was in and out the hospital, like, this was how your family just, like, you came together because of that prior loss? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So, I don't think I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it. And partially, I think I thought about it, but I also was in, like, denial. Like, not my dad.
Yeah.
Type of thing. Like, not my dad. Like, he literally was just fine 2 days ago.
Right.
So I didn't, it didn't register for me at that time, but there was a lot of mixed signals from the doctors over those 4 days. So I was trying to process it. I was trying to figure out if he, like, I truly thought he was coming home.
Right.
So, like, I know, I remember one of the nurses saying to us, like, oh, you guys are quiet in here. Like, go talk to him. Like, go say something to him or whatever the case may be. And I was questioning in my head because he was, like, sedated the whole time that we were at the doctor. So I was trying to figure out, like, can he actually hear us? Like,
right.
Does he really know that we're here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to talk to him anyway, but, like, right. Does he really know? So every, like, I would go up and talk to him, my sisters, my brother, my mom. And every time somebody would go up, it's like, when you get home, we got to really crack down on taking care of ourselves. We got to eat differently. We got to do, like, so everybody was talking, like, when we get home, and mm-hmm. I was too. I definitely said, like, Dad, all right, enough is enough. Like, when we get home, like, we all got to change. Like, we all got to kind of take care of our health and be a little bit more vigorous in that sense, so that these things don't happen. But not realizing, like you said with your mom, like, not realizing they weren't actually coming home. So once you got that news, what kind of support did you need in that moment? What do you feel like was the most useful in feeling supported by the people around you?
I think I needed my emotions to be validated. my mother was many things to many people. But she was a mother first.
Same.
And so a lot of times the responses that I received, instead of like my hug and my feelings being validated, was, well, she was this to me and she was that. And you have to think about, you know, that was her. But I was still like the child.
Uh-huh.
And even though I was 18, like, there was no book to this, like, being prepared and, you know, and I, you know, I've, you know, going back, like, I felt like I had a sense of peace, like, leaving that hospital the night before, because I was with her the night before.
Mm-hmm.
And same, my mother was sedated too, but every time she heard my voice, she flooded her eyes. So
okay.
She did hear me. So I don't know if that gives you any peace, that I do believe that, like, they hear, that they hear
uh-huh.
us, you know. It's different, but just saying.
Yeah. So I've actually, unfortunately, and you being one of these people, have mm-hmm. had quite a few friends lose their parents,
yeah.
like, over the years. And I've watched, you know, my friends kind of go through that process, but I still could have never actually imagined what that feels like. And one of my best friend's mom passed when we were, I believe, like, 17 or maybe 16. And she, you know, she talked about that same thing, like, with me about, you know, just talking to her mom for the last time. And I thought about that in that moment when I was talking to my dad also, like, okay, I'm being told by this nurse, talk to him because he can hear me,
mm-hmm.
but he's not reacting.
Right.
So how you're saying, like, your mom eyes would flutter or something like that. My dad wasn't reacting at all. The only other movement I saw him make before he passed, like, was we were actually in the room when he was dying.
I was about to ask you, yeah.
So that was a lot in itself. We were actually in the room when it, as it was taking place, and he, like, he moved a little bit at that point. Like, it was kind of like a gasp for air mixed with, like, a cough type of thing. So I'm okay. Like, oh, he's waking up? Like, that's honestly, truly, that's how I looked at it. Like, okay, this is the first time he moved in, like, 4 days. Mm-hmm. Like, he's getting up.
Yeah.
And actually, he wasn't. It was the complete opposite. So...
Yeah.
So I still battle with that, but I also try to tell myself not to. Like, I battle with this thought of, like, did he really know that we were around? Like, my dad is a huge family man. He's a huge, like, people person or whatever case may be. So I know for a fact that he would love to know that there were so many people surrounding him, like, outside of just our immediate family, so many other relatives that popped in and, you know, spent time and all those things. But I just really don't know if he really knew we were there. So, I struggle with that. So, I also want to talk to you about your family dynamics, too. Because I think that plays a huge role in grief and just how we process things later on. So, you came from a two-family household.
Yes.
And you're the oldest of multiple. Taylor has.
Yeah.
What? You're the oldest of... Six at that time. And it's just so funny. I just love looking at your family, to be honest. Where I'm the middle child, I have an older sister and younger siblings as well. So do you feel like your position in your family at that time, like, played a role in how you processed all of this, or how you, like, did it change the family structure at all?
Oh, absolutely. It changed the family structure. But then at the same time, it's a double-sided coin. So we were all at transitional ages, right? I'm 18, graduating high school. My sister after me, she's about to go into high school. So you have, like, all these different moving parts. The youngest at the time was 3. The oldest is 18. So I'm about to go. I'm, like, full-blown adult now. Like, there was all these different movements.
Right.
So it's figuring out all of that, right? And then because, yes, I'm the oldest, but I'm also the oldest of females who just lost their mom. So the dynamic, like, all of that changes. Mm-hmm. And then my father loses his best friend. So how was he going to figure out raising all these girls? Like, the family dynamic, definitely, it went into a coping style of everybody's who they are when they cope. So what that means for my father, I didn't know that at the time. I learned it, but I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
What that meant for me, I've always been the person to put my feelings to the back burner and put those who I love ahead of me.
Ooh, yeah.
So it's figuring out all of that, but then also coming from a very, like, tight family unit, and not just my immediate family, but, like, my aunts and my grandparents. They never allowed me to, I didn't feel obligated, rather, to be, oh, I'm mom now.
Okay.
I never had to feel that. There were ways where I probably took it upon myself, but I never had to go through that because of how the systems are set up in my family,
right,
at the time.
So what did you have any expectations of the grieving process? Like, what that looked like or what that would look like for
honestly,
you guys?
Honestly, I expected my mother to wake up in the service. So I think, like, I probably bypassed whatever the steps were, and I was straight up in denial for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing was, like, you see, like, these YouTube videos of, like, people who get, like, carried off the mountain and then, like, they wake up and they're, like, burial ceremony. Like, in my mind, no, I'm laughing, but it's true. Like, at that time, that's what was going to happen, because this is not my reality, because my life is planned out up until 26. Like,
right.
that was the thought process. So.
Right.
My mother was coming off the mountain. She was waking up at the service, and that was just that.
Right.
I was in denial for a long time.
So ultimately, you didn't really have an expectation. You just knew you were denying what was happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. You know what's crazy? I think I had an expectation for myself, because being that, so losing my grandmother was my first major loss. So just to be clear, the process of grieving my grandmother and grieving my father have been two completely different things. And I didn't expect that because I've lived with both of them. They've been like my everyday, you know, obviously they're my immediate family, but these are the people that I've been with every day of my life, my entire upbringing. Mm-hmm. So I didn't expect the process of grieving the two of them to be so different. But I think with my grandmother, the differences were, number one, she's older, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel a little bit more peace in her transcending because I felt like, okay, you've lived a pretty complete life. Right. Like, my grandmother was 89 when she passed. My dad was 59. And also, this is the first time I'm kind of using past tense to describe them. Wow. I talk about them in very, like, present tense.
That's
so,
a step, yeah.
That I just noticed that. But so that age dynamic, like, I'm thinking, okay, you're 89. You've seen a lot of things, like, you know.
You lived your life. Right.
Like, it didn't make it any easier that she was older, but it played a role. And then also when my grandmother was transcending, she knew. Like, she was very well aware that she was transcending. Like, we had conversations with her where she was just like, you know, there were options, I guess, because she was sick as well mm-hmm. at that point. But it was kind of more of like a older age body complication type of things happening for her. And there were options like, oh, you can get this surgery or you can try this or whatever the case may be. And my grandmother was like, she straight up was like, I have never had surgery in 89 years. I'm not starting today. Mm. When God is ready for me, I'm ready for him. And that's the conversation that me and her had. Like, yeah. I had that personal conversation with her. Because I remember they were telling her to, I think, get like a pacemaker placed on her heart or something like that. And I'm like, Grandma, if that's what they're telling you to do, like, can we get it? Yeah, basically. So I called her when she was in the hospital and told her that. And she was like, girl, no, like, this, I'm not doing it. And that was months before she actually, like, she came home in between that. So when it was taking place, she knew, and she, like, you know, she said that she was fine with it. So same kind of process, like, all of my family came and gathered and saw her. And I actually had a goodbye moment with my grandmother. Like, I actually got to say goodbye to my grandmother mm-hmm. and know that me walking out of this hospital room right now, that sometime soon you're gonna go.
Right.
And it was probably like a day or two later after I had left that took place. So I think that kind of plays a role too, because with my grandmother, I had, like, I knew what was going on. I knew that she was okay with what was going on because she said so. And her being older. With my dad actually took the loss of my grandmother pretty hard.
Okay.
Because that's his mom.
Right, right.
So I think for me personally, and I don't know what you want to call this, but I honestly think that that played a role in my dad's loss too. Like, that fact that he was like, what do people say? Like, when you die from a broken heart or something like that. Like, I believe
broken
in
heart
that.
Syndrome. Yeah.
I really believe in that. So I think that kind of played a role too. So ultimately my processes with grief, or how what I expected from it, I thought it was going to be the same, and it's not. Like, I have a little bit more peace with my grandmother than I do with my dad.
I think the biggest thing with grief, what it shows us is your relationship dynamics with the people in your life.
Ooh.
So what I'll say is, like, you lived in the house with both of them, right? But your relationship with your grandmother is ultimately going to be different with your parent.
Right.
And I think that it actually shows how strong or how close you are to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, I find that to be a very interesting thing. Like, mm-hmm. I never lost a grandparent, but I could imagine that she lives right around the corner from us.
Right.
Right? So ultimately, I'm going to feel some deep pain. But mm-hmm. at the same time, the bond between a child and their parent is something that I don't think anybody can honestly in their mind say that they can prepare for.
Right.
And the fact that you were able to have, like, some sort of closure with your grandmother,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like when it's a parent, it might ride out just a little bit longer in terms of like how we're processing and what our minds, our lives literally shaping up. And really you're being reborn into this person that has to now live without, with like more YouTube tutorials to tell us, to give us guidance, then that's picking up the phone to call.
Right.
This is that balance that I think that people are meant to go through certain things to aid to people that aren't going through those things in that time, because it makes life interesting and it makes relationships interesting.
That's true. I think I did see a shift in the, like, my family. I have, like, just, you know, in terms of like my siblings and my parents, like, we're very close.
Mm-hmm.
We are very, very close. And I've noticed certain shifts in, I don't want to say in our roles, but just how we interact. Like, my little brother being the only boy out of the kids,
yeah,
he just does his own thing. Like,
I feel like he always does his own thing.
He
though.
Does his own thing. My brother will be MIA for, like, me and my sisters tend to, in terms of like spending time, we tend to spend time with each other a little bit more than my brother. Not that, you know, that makes him any more of an outcast with us than anybody else, but he just does his own thing. And I think it's just because he got a bunch of sisters and he want to get away from us sometime and hang out with his guy friends. Like, that's what he does a lot. So my brother has always been, like, terrible with his phone, and I am too. Like, terrible with answering his phone. Like, I'll call my brother and he'll respond 3 days later, like, oh, you called me? And I'm like,
really?
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
Okay. So now, like, my brother takes the initiative differently.
Mm.
And I don't know if he realizes that he does that, to be honest. Like, he calls me and he just be like, oh, I'm just calling to see what you're doing.
Mm.
Or, like, we'll just be talking about things. Or, like, when I go to New York a lot more often at this point, just because I feel a way about my mom just, you know, being there. So when I come home, like, he makes sure, like, if he's somewhere, he comes home to, like he's coming to spend time or whatever like that before he dips off and does what he wants to do again. But, like, little things like that I've noticed, and I've just kind of noticed, like, my sisters and myself too, like, kind of just stepping up in a different way when it comes to my mom.
Right.
Because my parents been together for 33 years,
34,
somewhere around there. And my mom lost her best friend, like you said. So it's just like, I find us just kind of like showing up differently when it comes. My mom, like, she just, you know, she's not taking it well. She hasn't been. The holidays just passed, so that's been super hard.
That's
where was the playbook for that?
There is no playbook.
Right. So
there is no playbook.
So, you know, I've just noticed little things that where we stepped up differently. And you talked about your grief process kind of being rooted in denial for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Did that shift at this point, or do you feel you had this long period of denial? Where did it go from there?
I shifted myself in my work.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I set myself up to accomplish, I had to make sure that I accomplished it, because I don't know if I was running from this fact of life, and I needed something to fill that void of that. Maybe if I accomplished this, then I could turn around and, yeah, I'd be like, oh, this is pain, but I've dealt this. It wasn't that.
Okay.
And so what ended up happening was, like, at this point, I can say that it's totally different.
Okay.
And that I've dealt with it. One, because it's been a decade, almost.
Okay.
This coming May.
So that time.
B, I think, listening to the people, like, that first conversation I had with my aunt's best friend, she was like, listen, it took me 5 years to even realize. I'm like, 5 years? It shouldn't have take that long. Like, the person not here. But that's not it.
That is
and
not it at
everybody's
all.
Yep. Process was different. And I realized that my process, I don't know if it was organic because of all of everybody else's pain and me never dealing with mine, because I didn't have a right to feel, and people made me feel like I didn't have a right to feel.
Mm.
And so that, I think that played the biggest part of why I was in denial for so long, because I was falsely being the strength And I didn't have any strength in that way.
Right. So when you say that people didn't allow you to feel, let's dive into that a little bit more, because what does that look like?
It looks like when you want to cry, because the biggest part I feel like of grief is like releasing, let go through the motions. Don't just go through it, you know? And when I was about to get, every time I felt like I got that moment, it was either cut short or somebody else was like, and this true story, this happened, like somebody was like, well, I was 9 when I lost my mom. Mm-hmm. You were 18. And I'm like, how are we comparing pains right now? Like,
right.
This is surreal. Uh-huh. But that was happening often, and it was happening a lot. And it really wasn't until I got into my mom's alma mater, and now mine, NIAC College, that I started to be surrounded by people and professors that knew her and poured back into my life, where my grief and me figuring out who Taylor was in this new world that I'm now in, like feeling and going through it, mm-hmm. and them listening and them pouring back in words of love. Not saying I didn't get that from my family, but like it was hard. It was hard because they didn't see that I was the child. And at that time, I'm not 18 years old. I'm somebody who, like, was, like, 5. And I'm like, mommy, you know?
Oh,
like,
my God.
No. And I don't think people have that. And I think that's why my perspective is, like, for that podcast, you asked me, like, who I am. I'm a survivor. I've survived. And I'm still going through things, right? But right. I can honestly say I'm happy in that, because once I got a denial, I found my happiness. And right. things meant things. What I did meant something.
Ooh.
That's work.
That's
some work.
Oh, there's so many things that you said that I'm just like, I just want to pick at this. So just the age dynamics. The fact, it's so funny to me that you verbalize, like certain things that you're verbalizing. Mm-hmm. And I think because for me, the loss was so recent.
Yes.
That I'm finding the words for some of the things that I'm experiencing. So what you just said about the fact that you're not 18 at that point when you lose your parent. I'm 26.
Right.
And I lost my dad.
Right.
Right? And I have this whole, I feel like a baby on the inside because my daddy isn't around.
Right.
Like, and it's so crazy because I realized that I felt like that. And I was just like, is this normal?
Yeah.
I asked myself that. Like, is this normal? Like, again, there's no playbook on grief and, you know, how it's supposed to look. But at the same time, there's just all these little aspects of it that is just like, whoo, I didn't prepare for this. Like, I didn't prepare to feel like this little child and I find myself, like, wanting to be attached to my mom's hip.
Yeah.
From time to time because, ooh. It's crazy because, wow, here we go.
here we go. Yeah.
It's crazy because there was this time that I was like kind of going through this after college graduate depression. I need to figure out where I'm going to be in the world, but I don't know. And I feel lost. And I was just going through it at that point.
Right.
And because I was like feeling really depressed then I was still living with my parents at that point. And my coping at that point was being joined to my mother's hip.
Wow.
And I don't think she realized to date that I was doing that, or that I don't really know if she knew that something was wrong. Like, cause I would just like anywhere that she would go, I'd be like, oh, I'm gonna come. Like if she says she going to the grocery store, I hate going to the grocery store with my mother. I hate every bit of it. I hate to go in any store with my mother, but the minute that she says she's going somewhere, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm coming.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I had this like really childlike thing happening to me when I was depressed at that time. And I'm kind of experiencing that now that I lost my dad. But the dynamics are different because I don't live in the same place, you know, with my mom anymore. And I call her a lot. I said that I'm really bad with my phone. I don't answer anybody. Like, I really don't. I'm working on it. But I call her a lot because that's like the way that I have to go about that really childlike attachment that I've been feeling recently. So
I feel like it's a beautiful thing because, you know, I'm a teacher. And I think like the biggest key like is being in tune. Right. So once we hit adults and like people tend to forget that we were once children. And so it doesn't matter how like far you get in your life and how old you get, you still need your parent.
Oh.
And the difference between you and I is that like I didn't get that from my father. Mm. So for you to have that with your mother, it's still a beautiful thing. So I could only imagine, I do want to ask you about it, is like, you know, I still lived with my father, but it came to a point where we couldn't coexist because I was a representation of what you raised me to be versus how you decided that you wanted to live, right?
Ooh.
And so he couldn't give me what I needed. And at the time, like forgiveness is definitely a process, but it's a process that I'm working through, but and have I will say to an extent worked through. I'm in peace with certain things, but now you physically not being with your mother, I'm starting to hear more about like how that's taking a toll on your grief and process. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Even though like I said, my family's very tight knit, and not even just my immediate family. I have a really big family. My family as a whole is very tight knit. So like, even like my extended cousins from like, you know, they have been like real supportive too. Like over the holidays, we had a huge Christmas gathering with like all of my family, and we, you know, when we were praying over the food or whatever the case may be, they mentioned that like they took a moment to kind of acknowledge that, you know, we were going through what we're going through and that they were here and blah blah blah, and they've been doing that the whole time. But being away from my mom, especially because I know what she also is experiencing, like it's like part of me has stepped up in a lot of ways to support her when I know, like, when my mom is crying, any feeling that I have, like, kind of shuts off so I can support her. And I don't necessarily do that intentionally, but that's just how that plays out. But it feels lonely a lot of the time because it's like, oh, gosh. A lot of the time I'm thinking about, okay, wow, like my dad actually is not here. I'm still figuring that out. Like I think I'm kind of shifting into that denial process that you talked about. My dad is actually not here, and I have my mom, but she's not around me 24/7. Like, you know, I mean, I moved out years ago, right? I've been on my own for some time, but it just feels different now that I'm not home. So that's why I like go home a lot and call her a lot, and I don't know, I just feel like that's what I need at this point. And I'm glad that my mom is like, she's such a motherly mother that I'm glad that she's like so receptive to that without questioning it. Like I said, I be going astray from time to time, like I think most children do,
right?
But she's like super receptive to me, like just being under her, and she never asked. And I honestly, like I said, it's part of me wondering, does she notice? And the other part is like, does she just being a mom, and this is just what it is.
Yeah.
So I just think that's just what I need at this time.
And it's just different for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like the steps may be the same, but how they play out are, it's important to know is different. And it just seems like you're like taking things on like head like headstrong and forward, and
trying to, at least.
Yeah, but also allow yourself to like feel it through.
Yeah,
feeling it through.
Yeah, that's
because
very
knowing
important.
You know, me and Marquia have been friends for some years, and she actually saw me through my when I was going through with my mom. it's allowing yourself to feel. And I think once,
I say that.
And
so
for myself,
often.
Once I allowed myself to feel, and it hits, and you did, and you can't control it. But once it comes out, you feel like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah,
I can live.
Yeah,
and I could be the best me. And I think just the fact that you had the conversation with your father, like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. It's like, okay, he had his stamp of approval. Like,
yes,
he gave you that, you know, yeah. And whether he support you, you know, physically the way he said, it might just play out in a different way, you yeah. know. I just feel like, you know, the loneliness, it comes. It's a part of it. And just like you are already doing, like, continue to surround yourself around your family, around yeah. the people that love you.
What would you say the hardest part of this entire process, grief, healing, all of that, what has been the hardest part for you?
I think the aftermath mm-hmm. of, like I said, my family dynamic has changed tremendously in a way that I didn't think it would it would change.
Yeah.
My dad had another child afterwards, so now I have to think about, like, oh wow, I'm a big sister again.
Like, for the
sixth time.
Sixth,
yeah, that. So
look, you're losing
like
count.
I'm losing count myself, right? Like, I have to do that. I have to now develop a relationship anew with my sisters because everybody's figuring themselves out, right? But the aftermath of, like, when you're in that changing phase again in your life, then you become reflective and you think about what your parent will say to you, right? And you live life like you lived life a little bit, you know, like, you know, losing a parent causes you to mature quicker, hopefully, for most people, but like mm-hmm. you know, it does cause you to mature. And so now, like, recently I've been going through that change again where it's like, I know what I know, right? But it's still that fact of, like, maybe I'm not 5 now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm 15. I know a little bit more. Right? The rebellious soul, like,
right.
You know, you know a little bit more now, but it's like, you know, what would your mama do?
Yeah.
And then that's when you start figuring out, like, wow, my identity is really crafted in my parents, because the way that I'm walking this out now is the way that they've raised me to be, making my own decisions and things.
Isn't that
and
crazy so, when yeah. you become, like, an actual adult? Because yeah. I feel like there's levels to adulting.
There are. Oh, yes.
Isn't it crazy when you start to realize how much you're like your parents?
Yeah, man.
Like, I know when I hit my 20s, about, I started to see a lot of my mom and myself.
Mm-hmm.
I, like, started saying things that I was like, woo, I just sounded just like my mom when I said that. But it's like, now I'm also realizing how I'm like my dad as well. Like, my parents were two complete opposites. So the way that they coexisted was, like, really beautiful to witness, honestly.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of the way in which I kind of move through the world looks like my dad more than it does my mom. And I started realizing that recently. And it's just crazy. It's just really, it's really crazy to notice that. So the healing process obviously does not stop.
No.
I know that, you know, it's been some years since you lost your mom, but I'm pretty sure that there's still a lot of work that has to happen behind that.
Yeah.
So where would you say that you are mentally at this point and the healing process?
I would say, like, I'm ready to talk about it. And I think, like, you know, we kind of talked about it a little bit before air, but, like, me sitting down here talking to you about it is actually, like, me hearing myself is actually, like, I'm seeing how much that I am okay,
mm-hmm.
And how much I have grown, and just, you know, still taking it day by day. And honestly, it does get easier in some aspects, because once you hit the process of, like, realizing it and then realizing, like you were just saying, like, you know, you are, like, you are the representation of what your parents are, like, and what they've brought you up to be. It's kind of like, okay, well, maybe I can handle this a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm 18, you know, that now I don't have arrested development in that way, you know, like I
That's
can
so
do
funny
it.
To me.
I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think that in this part of my healing process, I'm definitely at, I can do it and I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Because I have the proof in my life that I'm doing it.
And where do you think you know, your experience with loss, how do you think that shapes how you show up in the world at this point? How you show up in your work, how you show up in your, you know, your relationships, all of those things.
I just find that I'm, like, just to put it in a word, I'm just extremely empathetic. Mm-hmm. Where I've always been very supportive, I feel like it, patience and empathy has been, like, the two biggest things for me.
Okay.
So, like, I tend to be, like, expressive in my emotions, but now I'm starting to see how my world and how I am affects other people, mm-hmm. because they're also, and then they're also going through something as well. So it actually has given me, like, a mindfulness of being more empathetic, yeah. and the patience of, like, not rushing through life, but taking things that come with it.
Okay. Makes sense. I have one last question for you.
Sure.
If your family was listening, what would you want them to know at this point?
I want them to know that, wow, that's that was a doozy one. I want them to know that I care about how they're feeling, right? And I want them to know that everybody has their process, and where we are very close, right? Space is okay too, but healthy space is better. And so everybody's process is different. You have to respect their processes. And then knowing that, because the funny thing is that me and my sisters, we all talk about wanting the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just about, like, how we're going about different things to get there, like our different lines of getting there. And it's okay to talk about it. I've learned that my healing has come through talking about it. And I think I want my family to know, like, it's okay to talk about it.
That's super important. Well, Taylor.
Yeah.
I am so glad that we had this conversation. I've been anticipating this for quite some time, so I appreciate you being here.
I love being here with you.
Tell the people where they can find you. Plug all your socials. Where can they spend their coins on you? Get your money? Like, what? Tell, where can we find you?
Okay, so the first place you can find me is dejourhouse.org. That is my business, where you'll find a whole bunch of information about what I do. And you can find me on Twitter at Taylor DeJour and Instagram at Miss Music DeJour. And I wrote a children's book called Line
Yes.
Spaces and Smiley Faces.
Love it.
You can find that through thebookpatch.com if you wanted like a concrete copy. And other than that, it's on every other platform.
Also, the audio.
The audio is everywhere too.
Yes.
So just type in Line Spaces and Smiley Faces by Taylor Plaza.
Yes. She has a audio to go along with the children's book. So that was super dope. I actually just gifted my godson that book, and I just love it. I love
Thanks.
It. So excited for you, excited for
Thank
what's
you.
Still to come.
Yes.
If you would like to share your story and be a future guest on Noor & Soul, you can email me at noorandsoul@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at Noor & Soul, where you can also DM me for guest inquiry. If you want to grab some merch and support by wearing my art, head to Etsy.com/shop/Noor & Soul. I will talk with you guys in the next episode. Bye.